Welcome to the Community Conversations podcast, where we believe that world transformation begins with gospel transformation, and gospel transformation begins with discovering the truth about who God is and who you are. And it starts right now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Community Conversations podcast. My name is Brian Hess, and I'm here again with Noah Chant.
Hey, how are you?
I am doing really well.
Me too.
Good.
Me too.
Good.
Doing super good.
Yeah. How's this week been?
Great. Great. Son said his first words. That was a big deal.
And tell us what it was.
It was Dada.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was my name. And so that was a great win for all the dads across the world. Yeah, no, it's been great. Been at the building a bunch, doing all that stuff. Spent some time today getting deer stands ready for deer hunting season. So fall's here for me, man. I watched college football this weekend. Deer hunting's getting ready.
That's it.
I'm fall.
When does deer season open?
September 14th this year. September 14th.
Okay.
In Georgia.
Okay.
Yeah, each state's different, but in Georgia, September 14th.
Great.
Yeah, ready to roll.
Yeah, I've got to get out there and get on my stand set up.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. But you did go hunting with me for the first time last year.
I did go hunting with you. We had a great time.
Yeah, and I killed a deer that night.
It was like...
right at the last moment.
Yeah, because it was like getting dark.
Yeah, yeah. You can only hunt till dark. And there was 3 minutes left of legal, what would be shooting time.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize there was that component too, of even legally we were meant to.
Every day there's a moment of hey, at 8:49, I use a bow, I don't use a gun, but you have to be done.
Okay.
We were 4 minutes out.
Wow.
From that, and we smoked one.
Yeah. Yep. I sat there and I ate Little Debbie's.
Yeah. Which, that's half of hunting anyway. it was perfect.
I had a great time.
Perfect. There's nothing in our job where your job is thinking. There's nothing better than a quiet place, a deer stand to just think.
Sure.
I think a lot about stuff. You mean a lot of messages and stuff have come out of mornings or evenings in a deer stand.
Yeah. A lot of fan fiction. And
I wrote a whole novel up there one day.
Whole Star Trek fan fiction.
most hunters I know are Star Trek fans.
Okay. So on this episode... let's talk about something really exciting that's coming up. Mm. And it's possible that people, if we have any listeners by chance who aren't in our immediate community.
Yeah, we have outside listeners.
We do? Okay.
We have some outside listeners.
Good. We've got a few. Awesome.
They're there.
So for those of you who don't know, maybe you aren't following, maybe you listen to the podcast, but you aren't necessarily following us as a church. We are moments away from being in a brand new building.
Yes, we are, as of this podcast episode, which will come out Friday, so we are 9 days away, eight and a half.
From our first service.
First Sunday, moving from 2501 Pine Grove, moving to 2290 Cloud Springs Road.
Yep.
Rossville, Georgia, on that Chattanooga line.
It feels like it shouldn't be Rossville to me. I know it is.
It's not. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't understand the boundary lines over there.
I have
there.
No clue how any of this works.
Nope.
From my house, I can almost throw a rock into Tennessee.
Right.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Chattanooga in North Georgia is I've used this analogy a lot, it's like Dallas-Fort Worth.
Sure.
When you say hey, I'm from Dallas-Fort Worth area, that means from the main hub of Dallas, you could be within an hour, 20 minutes of that.
Right.
That's how Chattanooga is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Chattanooga ends at Cleveland, even though it doesn't.
Right.
It ends at Hickson, mm-hmm. even though it doesn't. Some people would say Saudi, but those people aren't saved. It ends at Hickson.
Yeah.
It's all, we move in 8.5 days. It was an incredible provision from the Lord to move into a brand new, 12,000 square foot building, brand new everything from top to bottom. It's not a renovated building. This was non-existent, and now it's here. And I wouldn't say like I thought it was going to be bad, but it's definitely exceeded all my expectations of how great it looks and sounds. Yeah, and
it looks amazing.
Yeah, it feels great in there. And so, you know, we can house about 400 people in the sanctuary. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're just, excited. A lot of big things coming up. This is actually the first thing we've had as a church, it's actually the first building we've had with our name on it. And so We've never actually had our name on anything until now.
Right. And I think because of that too, in a sense, we've always felt a little like nomadic, a little bit like we don't really have any roots down anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. We've kind of felt that like language of being in more of like a pilgrimage for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so this feels more like us, you know, the language the Holy Spirit's been giving to me is more that we're planting roots, kind of becoming more of a home.
Right.
In our city. So
yeah, that's a big deal.
I know.
Yeah, that's a really big deal. And it's fun too. So for those of you again who don't know, we've been sharing a space with another church.
Mm-hmm.
And we're actually moving with them in kind of a partnership.
Yeah. I have an incredible relationship with their pastor, an incredible guy. And we do church a little different. But I think we carry a lot of the same mission. In a lot of the ways, we have the same heart for the same city, for the same people group, which is great. They're an incredible church to do life with. And so they meet in the mornings at 10:15. We meet in the evenings at 4. As of now, we have not felt the push from the Lord to ever move off of 4.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying we won't ever go to a Sunday morning or whenever, but we really love 4. You know, you can get up and have brunch with your family. You're not having to get your kids ready at 8 a.m. in the morning to rush to church. You can get ready and you can have brunch and hang out and eat lunch and have your day. And then at 4, go to church. And then you're done around 6:30 and you're eating supper. And then your Sunday's done. So you can kind of have a slow morning for your family. We just love it as a whole.
Yeah. Yeah. It's worked really well for us so far. We've gotten really used to that 4 o'clock time.
Yeah, it's been great. And so it's been great to share with them and for us to really kind of like collaborate together on creating a space that suits everybody and is kind of open to both places.
Right. And I actually really like that we are doing this in partnership with a church that does do things a bit differently than we do. Because I think it sends a message that, and we've talked about this before, but it sends a message that there are certain things that we ought to be aligned on, and with them we are. We all love the Lord. We love Jesus. Mm-hmm. We want to see
the essentials.
Yeah, the essentials. And so while we move down to maybe we have a few different convictions and different preferences, it doesn't mean we can't be in relationship with them,
right.
And that we can't do ministry with them
right.
to some capacity.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. And I think it's, you know, it speaks to the fact that we are one, you know, bride, one unified body. And even though you're right, there's preferences and different ways of seeing how the church, you know, functions, we still do life together and do things together. We've actually had a great time building this together. Like, you know, you kind of have, you maybe have those days of worrying of like, you know, like can a marriage, you know, when they make the jokes of like, can a marriage survive a house renovation?
Right.
You know, like how will this go? And it's been fantastic overall.
Yeah.
To do it and have it done together and to kind of see the finished product. It's just been like, I'm just kind of awestruck every time I walk in.
Right.
Probably because our last building wasn't the best too. So, you know, when you go from like a 92 Accord into a new Lexus, like, you know, it's even nicer.
Right.
No holes in the bathrooms. Uh-huh. And, you know, there was one room at our old building that was just like uninhabitable simply because of mold, I think.
Yeah, I've been
kind of holes in the wall. You just don't go in there.
It's not a room you really ever really want to go into.
Yeah. It's kind of like that space in a video game where it's like, hey, there's a zombie in there. There's something. The virus starts in there. And so this new building is nothing like that. And, you know, it's cleany and airy. And so, it's just all in all, it's amazing to see. It is amazing when the Lord... it would be amazing to have $1 billion dropped in our lap, build some building and do what we want to do. But there is a beauty of just like, this has kind of been a step-by-step journey with the Lord. We're by no means, extremely financially well off yet as a church. I believe that, you know, that day will come. Mm-hmm. But the Lord has been just opening doors to allow us to walk with him day by day and stuff like this, and it not completely crush us. You know, I saw a stat the other day that said, I think it was like 62 or 68, it may have been higher, maybe in the 80s. But anyway, somewhere in there, most like church plants don't last over the 3 year mark.
Oh, wow.
They close their doors before year four starts. And so
wow,
we're going into year four in a brand new building. So that's really exciting too, to see that, you know,
yeah,
we've kind of broken the mold a bit and we found, you know, a real resting place.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I personally, you know, you mentioned like, you know, the day will come where finances will look different for the church than it does now. But I've come to this place in my life where I have really grown to genuinely appreciate the life in which, like, trust is actually required.
Yeah.
There's something, there's a character and there's a faith that is built in that season.
Yeah.
That I don't think would be developed if the from the first Sunday we ever met as a church.
Yeah.
If we just had millions and millions of dollars.
Right.
You know, not that, you know.
Sure. Well, and I think too, like we've talked about this a lot as a staff, the reality of I think B-Love would look different if our first Sunday would have taken off and we were 3,000 people right now, we would look different. We'd have a different language than the one we were supposed to.
Yep.
And I believe a part of this journey has been, this is a conviction of my heart that the Lord refuses to let us be something that we're not because he wants to create something special in who we are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I feel like we have a real language now, a real understanding, a real blueprint. Not that we haven't, but you are finding your footing. Mm-hmm. You know, the Lord often will give you like a heading and you're just kind of heading in that direction.
Sure.
And I feel now more than ever that we just have such a great language and way and message and mission and goal.
Yeah.
That I really feel like we're about to see some incredible things as a family.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, and I love that it has been developed in just in this time of really like actually like needing to lean into the Lord. Because even like for me personally, as much as I'd love to be a millionaire one day, there's a part of me that thinks like, but like what will that, like how will that change the way I seek the Lord?
Yeah.
In my decisions? Well, in what ways will that affect the way I rely on him?
Yeah,
you know, will it affect my trust?
For sure. Well, even like from the place of like, you know, like your presence, like I am needed at B-Love, and you know, and I, like if I was wealthy, would I be like, well, I can just travel. I don't really need to. Would that change the way and I even pursue my own kingdom family?
Right.
You know, like how will wealth change the structure of how I view? Because hopefully it doesn't. Because being wealthy should not change my call, should not change my purpose, should not change that. Being a billionaire should not change that my value is that me, my wife, and my son are at church on Sundays.
Right.
You know what I mean? No dollar amount should change the value that I want, you know, my family, especially my son. Now that I have a kid, more than ever, I want my son to see me in the presence of the Lord and have a value for the house of God and the presence of God and to see his family interacting in that.
Yeah.
You know, I can say, you know, good things and bad things about my parents and their parenting and all that different stuff. But one thing I know for sure is my parents created an extreme value for the presence of God and the house of God in our lives.
Yep.
And sometimes that came with the cost of playing sports and going to this or doing that or this or that. But there was a huge value for this is what we do as believers, not just pastors.
Yep.
This is what we do as believers.
Yeah.
And that was made very clear to me. This is not a pastoral thing we do. Mm-hmm. This is a Jesus thing we do.
Yeah.
And I hope that would never change based off money or success or anything like that. You know, it's one of the, even the hallmarks of like leadership that I believe in holding strong to is like never being to a place where I can't see someone at B-Love and not know them. I mean, I know everything about them.
Right.
But never walking in and going like, who are you?
Yeah.
How did you get here?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you want to do your best to maintain that this is a family. You know, we've talked a lot about that. I don't mind being a lot of people as long as we're a small church.
Right. Yeah.
And that's really the goal always.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that that's a really similar story to my experience too growing up. And while I wasn't a pastor's kid, you know, my family, like we were that family that, and you've joked about this, you know, from the pulpit too, yeah. But we were that family that when we were on vacation, it's like, well, if you're on vacation on a Sunday, you find a church where you're at and you yeah. go, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we were that family.
Right.
And so we, you know, we'd be in Tennessee or we'd be wherever. I grew up in Illinois, so we'd be in Kentucky, Tennessee. And it's like, well, it's Sunday, so we're going to find a church. Yeah. But yeah, like I wasn't allowed to, I played baseball growing up and I played soccer. And it was like, we don't play travel ball because we travel on the weekends. Yeah. We're not going to miss church.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you're, you know, even if your league, if they've got a game on Sunday, if it's later in the afternoon,
yeah,
sure, we can make it.
If not, you're on the IR list.
Yeah, right. But yeah, so, yeah. And that was my experience. And because, you know, because for both of us, our parents kind of set the stage for that value to be instilled in us.
Right.
That has carried through both of us through our adulthood.
Yeah.
Because like both of us have had seasons where we were like way more apathetic toward the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But still, like even my most apathetic, like I don't really care about this. Like I still went to church mm-hmm. because it was
when I
just,
was on drugs, I went to church.
Sure.
I'm not saying that's right either, but I was there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I still went on Sundays at my lows and you know, my lowest lows and stuff.
Yeah.
And I think like, and it's not to say, I think the issue is I'm not painting anything else as evil.
Yeah.
Like if Benjamin wants to play football.
Right.
And he's super good at it. Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, your kid has a chance to play like college football. We're going for it, baby.
Sure.
We're going for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to teach him that the value systems of your life start with the Lord.
Right.
And fall the other way.
Yes. Everything else has to be organized around that.
Yeah. That is the framework of your existence, not the other way around. And most people don't see it that way.
Yeah.
So like, you know, church or anything, Jesus can fall into the base of, do I have enough energy?
Mm-hmm.
Make sure I'm not too tired.
Right.
Do we have an event? Do we have a vacation? Do we have a plan?
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes we church falls into the same category of like groceries.
Sure.
Like I know I need to go get groceries today,
mm-hmm.
but I just don't have the time and I'm just exhausted.
Right.
Like your church and Costco have very similar natures where like, I know I have to make a Costco run.
Yep.
Cause we're on the last roll of toilet paper and we have to get it done. And it's like, I know I need to go to church, but it's just like, it's just crazy today.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, it changes your whole, your value system is, and it's all about, that really makes your value system about preferences,
mm-hmm.
not about, you know, a person.
Right. Yeah. And then often you opt for the fast food version of going to church. Maybe mm-hmm. I'll throw on a podcast or.
Yeah. I'll watch online
or.
Somewhat.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, I'll catch what Upper Room did this morning. I'll watch, you know, I'll listen to a sermon or something.
And I'm not saying like, hey, like, you know, breaking news, like when me and Bailey go to Disney, we don't go to church on Sunday.
Sure.
I'm at Disney World.
Yep.
You know, or, you know, like if it's like, you know, like there's things we haven't done because, mm-hmm. you know, Benjamin's sick. Like if your kid's sick, don't come to church because you can get other kids sick. Like, right. Like, there's moments where we don't go to church and that's why we have an online presence.
Right.
Is because your kid gets sick, because you have a vacation and you want to see this or you want to see that. I get all that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that can't be a reality. But like, you know, there does need to be an awareness that what is your value system?
Right.
So if it's not this, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. and I think people are expectant of a person they want to become without a value for the person who will make them that person.
Mm.
And that person is Jesus.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. But yeah, you're right. It's all about identifying like how is your value system laid out? And the way you can tell that too is just how are you spending your time? How do you spend your energy? How do you spend your money?
Right.
You know, I don't like the term, I don't have time. I don't like that phrase. I don't have time for that.
Sure.
Because like, and it, yeah, like, you know, depending on what you have going on, what season you're in, whatever, there are times that are busier than other times mm-hmm. that happens. But the reality is that like every single day I have 24 hours in that day and I'm going to center that day around the things that are of the most value to mm-hmm. me. And it's just going to happen.
Well, and two, like we're not church is not a pop-up shop. It's the same time every week. It's not like, well, y'all kind of sprung this on me on Sunday. I had no clue.
Yeah.
This was going to happen today.
Right.
You know, and it's not, and I think the lie is pastors will say that because they want you at their church. And the truth is, pastors say that because they're telling you that there's an amount of change that comes from church that if you don't see with the minor time that you come, you'll get angry and leave, when really it's actually you need to be there.
Right.
You change in the presence of God.
Yeah.
I hate it for you.
Yep.
Just the nature. You change when you're around other believers.
Yep.
You change, you know, I'm preaching on it Sunday. Like, you change by the people you are around and how you interact with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what church does for people.
Yeah.
It's the nature of how it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's I've talked about this a bunch, but it's basically epigenetics, mm-hmm. which is the environment you surround yourself in will change how you are.
Yeah.
Take someone from Florida and put them in a house at 67 degrees, they're going to think their toes are falling off. But somebody from Wisconsin in a house at 67 degrees, no big deal.
Right.
It's environment.
Yeah.
You know, and that environment's made to change your family and how they view things and how they say things and see things.
Yeah.
You know, I think that a lot of times you're seeing a younger generation that doesn't have a high value for worship because their parents didn't worship in church.
Sure. Sure.
You want your kids to lift their hands. You want your kids to have an encounter with God, and you sit and worship like you're at a funeral.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like some people, I watch them in worship, and it's like they're listening to the national anthem. Just a lot of, you know, just stillness and some honor.
Right.
You know, but it's like, hey, like I want Benjamin to become the person that he sees his dad being in the building. And I need to become that person.
Right.
I need to show that type of love and honor and care and hunger for the Lord, because he's going to get his hunger off of me and Bailey.
Right.
Nobody else.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that our relationship with the Lord becomes an extension between us and our kids, and that they, mm-hmm. like you just said, like what, you know, if there's something that I hope to see in my kids. And this is, I think, just true of leadership in general, not just being a parent, but just as a leader. Like, if there's something that you want to see take place in the lives of the people you're leading, the best shot is to become that thing yourself.
Yes.
And to say, hey, this is going really well for me.
Yeah.
You want to come with?
Yeah.
You know?
Come join in on this. Yeah. 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 I think you know, people's kids are okay with being vulnerable, but they're going to learn their vulnerability from their parents. And if their parents are vulnerable in church,
mm-hmm.
they will be. Like, it's just the nature
of
how it goes. And so when you have a high value for it, your family will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't remember how we got there from it being a new building, but I'm super excited about it.
But I'm here for it.
No, but I would say that I hope that nobody at BLove takes the blessing of this new building and doesn't honor the Lord with pouring out praise and thanksgiving in the building with us.
Right. Yeah.
That's I don't know how we got here. Sure. But since we're here. Since we're here, we'll park. And I hope that nobody doesn't see the value of what we've been blessed with,
mm-hmm.
and doesn't say, I want to be in that.
Right.
Because, you know, I've heard a couple people recently say, like, I've heard this multiple times, like, man, like, have you ever seen the worship at Upper Room? Have you ever seen their Sunday services? Like, it's, oh, man, it's radical. I'm like, yeah, people wait in line to get in at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
People for a 9 o'clock up, service.
They line up and wait.
At 4 a.m.
Yeah.
I'd be safe to say if there wasn't enough parking, so people would be like, I'll catch them next week.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. That's not legalism. That's hunger.
Yeah.
That's not religion.
Mm-hmm.
That's care and dedication.
Yeah.
And like what most people are often seeing over there and thinking I want can be created in the same place right where you are if your hunger will match that one.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and I think like BLove has one of my prayers recently has been that BLove become a house of prayer and a temple of praise. A house of prayer and a temple of praise. And that will come from, you know, a group of people committing to saying we will pour out praise and we will pour out prayer until it is.
Yeah.
Until he rests here.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I love that.
Yeah. And that's what I'm believing for in this new building, you know.
Yeah.
Especially like that first, like, you know, we have our first service on the 8th, but our grand opening is the 22nd. I really just believe that service. We've had a couple people have prophetic words about trees. Very interestingly, from different angles. And one of the things I feel like I've been seeing recently is this like, is the ground, is a tree that has no roots. And on the 22nd, I see this service that kind of shakes the ground and all the concrete breaks. And a roots can go super deep.
Wow.
And can be kind of set in place. And I really believe that's what's coming for the 22nd, you know?
Yeah.
It's like that proverb of, you know, oaks of righteousness that cannot be shaken.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. And so I really believe there's going to be a root planting in our city where we become a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Some churches are synonymous with the city they're in.
Right.
And I want us to be one of those, you know?
Yeah. You think Bethel, you think Reading.
Mm-hmm.
You think Upper Room, you think Dallas.
Right, and exactly.
So, yeah.
I want us to be something in that vein where we plant a root deep into our city, because I'm not looking to plant like another, you know, campus in Knoxville. This is it. Chattanooga's for us.
Yeah, we love this city.
Yeah, we love this city. I believe this is the greatest city in the world, and I want it to look like the Lord and look like the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
I think it starts this month coming.
And you know what I love too? This is... I think it was Katie actually at a staff meeting who recognized this, but you know, initially our launch date was going to be sooner than the 22nd, but just with building a new building, delays happen. Yeah. And so things get pushed back. And so right now our launch date officially is 0922 and the address is 2290.
Yeah.
And so I love that.
That's very interesting. Yeah, yeah. We've had a couple, you know, prophetic words about 2 and 22, and
there's been a lot of prophetic.
It's our address. It's our launch date, and so I really believe that we are. You know, I think at the end of the day, like when me and you die, and you'll die first because of how you eat, probably.
I'm going to live a long time.
When you die, and 20 years later, when I'm gone. when we die. My hope is that B-Love is recognized at a place that discipled people into looking like Jesus.
Yeah.
Like if I could just say, like it could be like, hey, like they disciple super well.
Yep.
And people there like actually look like the Lord.
Right.
And not all the time.
Yep.
But they are incrementally looking more and more like the Christ.
Yes.
And I'm really believing this is going to be the start of that.
Yeah,
of us discipling and loving people well, and hopefully growing as a church, not just to go, look at this.
Right, yeah.
But to be able to say, or to be able to influence our city through just a large group of people, you know, infiltrating our city and looking like Jesus.
Yeah, yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
I think that's...
And I'll tell you about it one day when we were in heaven together. You died, but we did it.
Listen, you joke, but if I go first, I want you to know that there's going to be a lot of Creed involved at my funeral.
Yeah.
I'm going to have you singing Creed. It's going to be in the will. And so you joke about me dying first, but you're going to do some crazy stuff at my funeral. A lot of one-man performances.
Oliver's going to be like, what was my dad like? I'm going to be like, you. You don't want to know.
Okay.
We've talked a lot about you the past couple weeks not being around. I don't know how we keep coming back to this.
I know. I wonder if people who would listen to this who don't really know us, who aren't really in our church, if they find that as funny as we do.
Maybe. I've realized I don't think I've ever preached and not made fun of you.
Yeah, you call me out.
Almost every week.
Yeah.
So, but for me, and you know, for people who don't know, that's my love language.
Yeah.
So if I don't make fun of you, it's a bad sign. You need to run. That's when you know it's not good. But yeah, I mean, we are, you know, I think it would be hard to walk into this building next Sunday, the 8th, and not go like, wow, you know, look what the Lord has done.
Yeah. And not just be instantly met with just awe and gratitude.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it is. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
It is. So yeah, if you are in the greater Chattanooga area and you've never been, this would be a great time to come. I can't think of a better time.
Think of a better time.
To come and just celebrate with us and just celebrate what the Lord is doing.
September 8th, first service. September 22nd, grand opening. Just a bunch of fun stuff on the horizon. I really believe that we are called to be a model church and model discipleship well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in influencing our city, we will see people from other cities looking for resources that we can bless them with, and that will all be because of the people we have.
Yeah.
You know, I think I try to make people aware all the time that anytime I like travel and preach somewhere or am meeting with another pastor or leader somewhere else or at a different event, and like I get the opportunity to share about discipleship and leadership in the kingdom, like it's all because of our people that that even happens.
Mm-hmm.
And so anytime anyone on our staff or anybody does anything for the gospel, for the, you know, for the kingdom, or bring something to help another church, another person, like it's all because of the people that we have that we get to do what we get to do. And so they actually play a piece in every aspect of what we're doing.
Yeah.
It's one united, mm-hmm. you know, thing. It's not pieces. It's one body.
Yeah.
And that's important too. So,
yeah,
you know, but yeah,
I love that
Sunday.
Okay. Great. Anything else? I think that's pretty
good. No, sounds good to me, man. Sounds good to me.
Yeah. We're excited. Okay. Well, that's all for this episode. For everybody who listened, we appreciate you. For everybody who watched, thank you. And we will see you next time.